Welcome to our Live a Legacy Network. Our intentions are to provide you with valuable information that will alter the trajectory of your life by creating new opportunities for you, your family, and your future. What exactly is Straight Talk with Ricky? It's the real deal, unedited, unfiltered truth about life and all the lessons that come with it. You can either learn them the easy way or the hard way. You decide. If you prefer the easy way, subscribe right now. Today, I'm going to share a very personal story about how I lost 20 pounds in 3 months. So, I like to say that it was easy, but it really wasn't. I'm going to share some of my tactics, some of my strategies, and, you know, just the ideas that I threw out there, and it seemed to work for me. And I believe all of us have, at some point in our life, wanted to lose weight for various reasons, and sometimes there's just so much information out there and you don't know what's going to work, what doesn't work. Maybe this works for you, maybe it won't. It did work for me. So I'm a person that when I see a result that I want, and I want to learn more about how that person achieved that result and see if it's something that I can put into my daily habits and have that benefit me as well. So let me start with my story. And my wife and I had our second boy around 2.5 years ago. And at that time, life was a roller coaster. It still is, but at that time, it was a upside down turning roller coaster. And just getting new strategies on how to handle the kids and time and everything else is more important than, of course, ourselves, right? I think a lot of parents out there can certainly appreciate this. Second child, getting new, all of this information. So, you know, you eat whatever you can, whenever you can, because you're starving and you're hungry and, you know, there's no structure at all. And so that is what happens, is you lose taking care of yourself, right? Which, of course, is priority number one. But when you're in the middle of the, you know, tornado, you're just doing whatever you can to keep these little guys alive, right? At least that's how it was for us. My wife works, I work, we're full-timers, and, you know, so it was a lot of a juggling in there. So whatever your situation is, I'm sure whether you're juggling something, whether you're stressed out at work, whether you're going through a breakup, maybe you're getting married, you're getting divorced, you're having babies, or you're just finding yourself, or just unhappy when you look in the mirror and you say, where does that body come from? How did I get to where I am right now? So while that was happening, I also was approaching my 50th birthday. So tack on a midlife crisis in the middle of, you know, this tornado and an identity crisis. And so I was just so confused with so many different things, and I saw my weight increasing, and I thought, again, I'm turning 50. I go, maybe that 50 is just a card, right? It's like, okay, well, here's my you can get fat now card because you're turning 50, or it's okay because you had a baby card, and it's okay. And so I allowed that mentality to get inside me, and it's not like me, but I did. And I took over. It took over and said, okay, you know what? You look at other people, oh, well, I'm not as fat as that person, or I'm judging myself, and I'm critical, and I'm comparing, and doing all the things you're not supposed to do. But of course, it's your own excuse, it's your own story, you're telling yourself as to why you're allowing these reasons to get in the way that's causing you to have to go shopping, to buy bigger clothes, and to work around this new identity or wherever you're heading towards. So it's not pretty at all, and I think that was kind of one of the things that hit me hard. I'm like, am I really buying a size 36 pants? Because I've always been 32, 34 most of my life, and now I'm 36. I'm like, well, I guess so, you know. And at the time, I was like, well, I can't lose weight in 2 days, and right now everything else doesn't fit. So I just bit the bullet. I went and I bought, you know, not too much, but I bought enough stuff that I could wear, and it worked, right? That was what I needed at the time. However, I moved all my skinny clothes into the back of the closet. I didn't give them away, number one, I paid a lot of money for them, and number two, I was thinking that I put that there as a reward or as something I can strive for. I'm like, okay, I'm not letting go of that person, right? I'm going to be that person again, or I don't know when and how, but I'm going to put it there because I want to know that I haven't killed that person, right? I didn't kill that person, that skinny person that I know I enjoy being. So more on that later. So whatever your reasons are, I'm going to share with you my strategies on how I got there. So 3 months, 20 pounds, okay? I was actually about 207.9. be exact, right? And today I can say, actually I was on the scale this morning and I was 182.9. So it's really 25 pounds total, but the bulk of it, this last 20 pounds, have really peeled off in the last 3 months, right? All right, so here we go. Number one, write down what are your desired results. How much do you want to lose, right? Maybe it's 5 pounds, maybe it's 10 pounds. Maybe you need to do it for a special event. Maybe you've got a little, you know, belly fat, you just want to kind of get rid of it. Whatever it is, identify it. Write down what it is you want to lose and by when, right? How long, how much, okay? Then, very important, write down why is that important to you? What does that do for you? How does that affect your life? How is that going to change your attitude? How is that going to allow you to show up as a better person in your relationships, at work, for your family? Whatever that is, write it down. Spend a lot of time on number one, because this is going to keep playing out throughout the course of this, you know, session or this your new game plan, because you need to be reminding yourself why I really want this. Because if you don't want it bad enough, you're not gonna make a change. And you might have already turned off this video, right? You're like, ah, whatever. But if you want it bad enough, write down why you want it. What is the desired result? What does life look like once you accomplish that, right? Oh, I get to go shopping. Like right now, I still haven't went shopping for my new skinny clothes because I have about 5 more pounds, I think, that I want to kind of get to, right around 180, maybe just a bit under. And then I'm going to go shopping, and that's going to be my reward, right? That's my desired result, is I'm going to go shopping, and I can't wait to buy some new clothes and, you know, fit in and, you know, all of that, right? I'm very excited. So maybe it's to go shopping. Maybe it's to have a better relationship, all of that good stuff, okay? So write it down, be specific. Okay, number two, meals and snacks. Again, this is what I did. This is what worked for me. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, and probably if you ask those guys what I'm about to tell you, they're gonna say, hell no, don't do that. However, it worked for me. I'm the type of person, when I commit to something, I'm all in, I'm gonna do whatever it takes. And so for me, number one, breakfast. 6 days out of the week, I do not eat breakfast. What do? I drink about 2 cups of coffee when I wake up. That gets me going, that wakes me up, suppresses my appetite a little bit. Maybe exercise, I'll do something, I'll keep myself busy, I go to work. I do a lot of stuff in the morning, takes my mind off of it, right? When I say the morning, I mean as soon as you wake up, breakfast, okay? So then what happens is when I roll around to 10, 11 o'clock, maybe even 12 o'clock. Between 10 and 12 is probably the first part of the day that I actually put something in my mouth food-wise. And again, for me, it was maybe a Kind bar, or if I'm gonna have a breakfast for one day, I really like a ham, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwich. And I'll get that either at Dunkin' Donuts. There's a nice little place next to my home that I get, maybe with a croissant or an English muffin. If I'm at Starbucks, I get a reduced fat turkey bacon sandwich, right? And so that is what has worked for me in the morning, if I'm gonna have anything. Sometimes I just have a protein shake. So I have various different flavors. You know, I like the chocolate and peanut butter and strawberry and cookies and cream, whatever it is, right? Protein shake with almond milk is what I use. Almond milk, the powder, and I'll add fruit. I'll add berries, strawberries, blueberries, all of that, mix it up. So that becomes my meal up until lunchtime, right? Here's the secret sauce. My lunch, you try to extend it as long as possible. Don't have lunch at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. I average lunchtime for me is like 3 o'clock. 2 to 3, okay? 2 to 3. If you can make it to 2 to 3 and have lunch, you can have a big meal, right? I know they say, oh, you should just do a light lunch. No, that should be your biggest meal of the day, actually. And I have protein. I'll always have chicken and meat. Maybe a steak or, you know, ground beef or pork or something meaty, right? Maybe fish. Sometimes it's salmon. Sometimes I'll have a fish. But I'll definitely have a big meal at lunchtime. And when I say big, I mean enough so that I'm satisfied, right? I don't overstuff myself. I don't eat too much, but I'm satisfied. And in that meal, you know, it used to incorporate pasta, maybe sometimes rice, sometimes sandwiches and bread, right? Carbs. So I did strip away most of the carbs, right? I'm Middle Eastern. I love rice. I used to eat rice every day of my life growing up. And now I went from white rice to brown rice. And even now, when I started, and even now, I even have less brown rice, maybe once a week. Sometimes twice if it's if I'm going to a family event or something like that. So that is the middle part of the day. Bread, if I have bread, it's a whole grain, maybe whole wheat. You know, I love hamburgers, so I still eat hamburger bun. A good trick though, if you're gonna eat sandwiches, I'm a sandwich guy, is do what they call an open face sandwich, where you either remove the top, whatever the thicker part is, right? So if you go to a restaurant and they have these thick sandwiches and, you know, remove the thicker part and flip it over and then you just kind of eat it open face, where you have a little bit of bread, but it's at least less. That makes a big difference, believe it or not. It's, you know, it's half or more than 50% because it's the bigger piece, right? Each meal, okay? But here's the trick about weight loss. It's the same thing about, you know, finance, right? The laws of compounding interest, right? You put a little money away, you make a lot of money later. Here, you reduce a little bit every day and you see the results much faster. So that's also very important. What other snacks do I use? Nuts. I always have mixed nuts nearby. Beef jerky is really awesome. They have some great brands now, like Perky Jerky. They'll have turkey jerky. Some have chicken jerky. And of course, there's always the beef. So don't be cheap on this one. Get the really good brand. It's not expensive when you compare it to, you know, other meals or anything like that. Not that expensive. It really, really, a few bites takes you from being starving and everything to, okay, I can get to the next level, right? I can just get to the next hour or get to the next 2 hours. And again, I don't know how healthy this is or not. I'm just saying what worked for me. And if your stomach is not a little grumpy, you're not doing it right, okay? All right? At some point, your body needs to pull some of that stored fat. And the only way it does that is when it's in a position where survival, right? Almost like survival, right? We're in the wild. Think about the animals, right? They're hungry every day until they get to their next kill. They're killing, they're satisfied for a long time because they gorge themselves, but then they can go days without eating and their stomachs are shriveling and, you know, and all of this stuff, right? So, you know, you need to get to that point, which is why the morning, everyone says, no, you gotta have the first meal of the day as soon as you wake up because it's gonna speed up your metabolism. I'm not a believer in that. Your metabolism is your metabolism, right? It's gonna be working no matter what. So So when you say you speed it up because you just ingested something that your body's like, wow, I just got something here. I need to do something with it, so I better go to work to get rid of that. So it's trying to take care of what you just ate instead of, if there's nothing in your stomach, what is your body going to do? Is it going to shut down? No, you're not going to be able to get out of bed? No. It's still going to work, and it's going to go, okay, I need energy. Where am I going to get it from? I'm going to get it from all the stored fat that you have laced throughout your body, and it's going to pull little pieces from here and there. I promise you, it's okay. I promise you, it's okay to be hungry. It's okay to have that, your body do what it's naturally meant to do and pull from those deep, deep pockets. That's how you lose weight quickly, is you have to take those deep buried fat. It's buried so deep in your skin that you can't even tell where your body ends and where the fat starts, right? So you let your body go to work. Let your body do the heavy lifting, but you have to tell it how you want it to do it, okay? So again, that's what works for me. So then we get into the evening. Right now, most of the time I have a salad with some protein, mostly chicken. I have chicken breast, chop it up, put it in a salad, lots of veggies. I do mixed greens, sometimes romaine, sometimes spinach, sometimes I'll just mix it up. Always cucumbers, onions, mushrooms, peppers, little croutons, I do like Vidalia onion dressing or balsamic vinaigrette, and sometimes I mix them both, okay? So that's for dinner. Or if I do have some protein, sometimes I just have protein and that's it, chicken breast or some meat, and I'll eat that and be done by 7 o'clock. Obviously that's easy during the week. Maybe on the weekend it might be a little harder, but if you can be done by 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at the latest, or else, you know, at least a couple hours before you go to bed. So whatever your bedtime is, at least a couple of hours, you should be done with all of your eating for the day, okay? So, all right, that's that. Exercise, okay, just start. So I have a Peloton bike at home that I wasn't using for a while. I was using it to dry my laundry, right? Just throwing it up there and just kind of leaving it. And it's like kind of like in between our living room and our dining room. So I see it every day and I'm like, oh, I should really get on there sometime, you know? Of course, now switch time, trigger, switch, trigger. Everyone has it, okay? I'll talk about that later. My trigger is like, all right, I'm just gonna get on there. Let me just get up, get on there. I did it for 15 minutes the first week, you know, 3 days a week. The next week, 30 minutes, 3 days a week. Now up to about 45 minutes, right, 3 days a week. It's convenient, it's easy for me, and, you know, it works for me, right? If you want to do a Stairmaster, if you want to do elliptical, if you want to do riding, I do a little bit of weights in the evening. I'm not that strong in the morning. So I do my cardio in the morning because, again, it's burning that stored fat. And then at nighttime, after I have my protein, after I have my shake or whatever, now I can lift weights and I feel a little bit stronger at that time, right? And I do that just a couple times a week right now. I do want to get a little bit more into that, but, right, everything has its own time and a place. I will tell you, I also started doing bicycle sit-ups. So easy, right in your bed, right? I mean, I wake up before I even get out of the bed. I'm there doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I did up to 50, and I would do it twice. I'd do 50, then I would stop. And then, you know, first it was probably 30, and then 40, right? Everything is gonna build up. It doesn't matter. Don't tell yourself I gotta do 50. Just do 10. Do it until it hurts, and then stop. And then rest, and then do it again until it hurts, and then stop. So I do that in the mornings. I do that here. This is my office. So I work from home sometimes. And so from here in the evening, I will be working. I'll take a break. I have my mat right here on the ground. And I'll knock out about 50 or maybe 100 of those bicycle sit-ups because it really strengthens your core. It's very important to have that. What else do I do? Push-ups. I do some push-ups. Excuse me. And then I just started doing planks because those are really hard for a little while. Now I started doing some planks, and so it's been very helpful, very successful with that. So these are easy exercises, you guys. Easy exercises that you can do right from home. So that's why I want to give you options that you don't have to go, if you don't have a gym membership or you don't have anything like that. Exercise doesn't mean you have to go to the gym. You can do it right from your living room while you're watching your soap opera or your TV or your Netflix or whatever, right? Get off the couch and just watch your TV from there. Which, by the way, I stopped watching a lot of my shows because it was interfering with my new schedule, right? So we're going to talk about that at number six of, you know, needing to make sure that you sacrifice something if you want to include something new, okay? Number four, okay, what is the pain of doing nothing? Okay, you got all these ideas, you wrote down what you want, you got your little meal plan, you got an exercise schedule, and you're like, okay, I gotta take action. Okay, if you don't take action, what does that look like, right? Obviously, nothing's gonna happen, but could it get worse, right? The pain of not taking care of your body. Does that mean you're gonna gain more weight? What's that gonna do to your mindset? What's that gonna do to your attitude? How's that gonna affect your relationships? Are you in some kind of a downward spiral? Is this really important to you? What does that look like, that future, if you continue on the path that you're on right now? So it's very important to understand that as well, because you need to get a fast forward glimpse of what 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, who knows, right? But you need to see what that looks like in order to really understand, wow, if I got to that point, what would my mindset be? What would I do with myself, right? I would be so upset, disappointed, discouraged, you know, whatever it is, so that you have that and use that as fire, right? You use that as your fire and your passion and be like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to let that happen to me, okay? So it's very good to understand the pain of just doing nothing. All right, so we got to make our schedule. I gave you a quick rundown of my schedule. Again, I wake up probably between, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30. The kids, my wife and I, again, we tag team, depending on one of us takes the kids to school every other day. and so the day that my wife takes them to school, I jump on the Peloton bike. I have more time and I get that done. Then you know my rest of my schedule. I am usually in bed. For me, it's usually never before 10, and it could be 11 or even 12 sometimes. I'm trying to get it closer to 10, but sometimes, you know, it's a little bit later. I like to read. I do reading in bed, and I do that at night. Sometimes I do it in the morning, but not really. Mostly at nighttime. Once the kids are in bed, then I can read, and if I have a show, maybe I'll watch a little bit of a show. But that's my best time for doing my reading, reflecting, some kind of motivating, meditation, journaling, writing down some things. All that for me happens at night. I know a lot of people say, well, no, you gotta wake up at 5 a.m. and you gotta do all that stuff at that time because it's the best way to start your day. I get it, and I'm with you. I agree that it should be done, and yet I'm not so particular as to when it happens, as long as it does happen. I do think it's very important and very healthy, because I think when you go to bed, what you wake up is with the same thoughts that you had when you went to bed, and so that, you know, helps me to really have that passion and energy first thing in the morning. Okay, so make a schedule and habits. Again, in order to create a new habit, most of the time we have to say bye-bye to an unhealthy habit or something that you know is getting in the way or you know is not serving you well. It, you know, it could be, I don't know, smoking, drinking, hanging out with people that are not, you know, empowering or that don't uplift you, you know, either it's work or family, you know, whatever it is, this is your chance. This is your chance to cut that, replace that with a healthy habit and say, okay, if I'm going to start exercising, I need to stop doing this. And then that's when the magic happens. That is truly the secret sauce, because you're taking something from here and you're flipping the switch, right? It's not just going from here to here. It's taking something that you want to maximize and maximizing it, taking something that you want to minimize and minimizing it at the same time. So the force that goes through with that simultaneously is catapulting. It's catapulting you into a whole nother speed, right? And you're like, wow, I'm really moving now. And then when you do that day after day, time after time, you are moving at light speed, faster than you've ever in your life. And that's when you say, wow, okay, I see results, I'm feeling this, right? And sometimes we need that. We need to feel something's working, right, in order to keep doing it. So if you want, if you're an impatient person like me, you might need to, you know, do this, you know, that's why I needed to see results quickly, and this is quickly, right? You can go on one of the other diets and do whatever for years and all that stuff, but you want to lose weight fast, I'm telling you, this is the boot camp, right? You know, I mean, I'm a guy, maybe it's easier for guys, I don't know, but you know, it's like, you know, you go to the army, you do what you have to do. I mean, there's just no excuses, and you have to, you know, sacrifice. You have to make sacrifices in anything in life, right? If you wish to break through the other side and to have positive gains. So for sure, those habits, write down as part of your desired results or the pain of doing nothing, write down what are your sacrifices. And they're not even sacrifices, right? Because if it's something that you know you shouldn't be doing, then it's a treat, right? It's only a sacrifice if you really love watching Netflix and you have to stop watching that show for one season. Do it. Just do it, okay? I promise you, you're not going to lose sleep over not knowing what happened on that show, okay? Okay, no pain, no gain. I think everything we talked about is exactly that. Things have to hurt sometimes. They have to have some kind of a pain, you know, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, I don't know, right? Anytime we're going through a transformation, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it's uncomfortable, and that's good. So sometimes we think, oh, I'm uncomfortable, let me go back to my comfort zone. No, because your comfort zone is what wasn't working. So pain is good when it's positive pain, when you know that this hurts in a good way, right? That's what it's all about. This hurts in a good way, but I kind of like it, right? Then you become addicted to that little pain of growth, that pain of transforming, right? That pain of your new identity. And the gain of that is, wow, you know what? These pants used to be so tight on me. Huh, that's pretty good. Wow. Oh my God, this shirt, I could never wear this shirt anymore. Wow, that's when you start to see a difference. When you start to see, huh, right? And then you even have people, they're like, oh, you lost weight, right? And you're like, oh, no, not really, you know, just a couple pounds. Like, you don't really see it that much because you're doing it every day. But that's the best. That is the best. When you have people that you don't see all the time, they're like, wow, you lost some weight, right? And you're like, well, you know what? I guess I did, because everyone keeps telling me that I did. My clothes are fitting better, so own it. Say, yeah, I did. You know, for a little while, I was like, no, no, no. But then I was like, well, I did. I worked hard. I had pain. I did lose weight. Thank you for noticing. Yes, thank you for noticing. Because I did work hard. I did, have been busting my butt. And that little reward is keeps you that fuel and keeps the fire for you to keep doing it and keep doing it. So take those little nuggets, take those little rewards and use them positively to keep stay steady on the course, okay? Because sometimes you can fall off when you don't think I'm seeing a result, and oh, it's been 1 week and I'm starving myself, and Richard, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm starving, I didn't lose any weight. Well, I don't know, that might be possible, but it may take you 2 weeks, right? It may take 3 weeks, I don't know, stay the course, just keep doing it, right? Just stay the course, keep doing it. So there's a saying that I heard a while ago, and it stuck with me because it resonates with me, and it's more true than ever today, at least in the position that I'm in, and it is, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. Okay? Write that down. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. Right? So obviously, what does that mean? Is when you lose the weight, when you're fitting in different clothes and you're like touching your body and you're like, wow, this really feels amazing, right? And the compliments that you're getting from people is just it's just so great for the mindset, so great for your attitude. It's just very empowering. And so write that down because it is really, really, really true. Put it on your mirror, put it on your refrigerator, I don't know, put it everywhere if it's just going to remind you, do I need to take that extra bite? Do I need to, you know, have that dessert or whatever that is, right? Okay, number 7, so self-reinvention. So this is what's happening right now. When you go through this transformation, right, this metamorphosis, it changes you. It's going to feel, you're going to feel lighter, you're going to feel more powerful, more courageous. It's a very, you know, being healthy and looking good is, you know, it's very rewarding in, you know, so many different ways. You know, besides the compliments and the reaction you get from other people, you know, you just have a little bit more bounce to your step, and you're just more confident. And even your desired result, right? It could be, I like what I see in the mirror. Trust me, vanity was on my list as well of one of the reasons why, you know, I wanted to lose the weight. So don't be ashamed of that. If you just say, hey, I want to look great in a bikini or a bathing suit or, you know, whatever that is, in workout clothes or, you know, naked, right? Nothing wrong with that. I want to look great for my partner. So that's always really powerful. So your self-reinvention is going to be the things that you're doing, that you're telling yourself, you know, you do it for yourself always, but at the end of the day, you are doing it for the relationships you have, for your family, and for be the best you can be for all of them. And that's when you really see the magic happen of the reward that you get from sticking to something like this. And right now, I'm telling you, it's a tremendous time to do it. Right now, we have the holidays coming up, so while everyone else is going to be, you know, eating more than they should because they've got the card, right, the holiday card, hey, yeah, go and eat, don't worry about it, you start your diet in January. While they're doing that, if you start this now, imagine what's going to happen in January when you're going to lose 5, 10 plus pounds, you know, between now and the end of the year, and they're going to gain 5 or 10 pounds, you're going to have that scale effect, right? You're going to be going like this, they're going to be going like this, and that impact is going to be just that much greater when you know, see people in January. People are going to be like, oh wow, you know, you look amazing, and all of that fun stuff, right? So that's really great to keep that reinvention at the top of your mind and own it, right? Own your new identity and, you know, be confident that you put in the hard work, the pain, to get those rewards. Okay? Also, so if you fail, get back up. What does that mean? There's no such thing as failing, right? You might cheat, you might eat something you're not supposed to eat. If you're gonna do that, I would say do it on one day, right? Pick one day, a Saturday, a Sunday, I don't know, whatever that day is. If you're gonna cheat, do more of all of it on one day so that you're not just cheating throughout the week or whatever. You know, I like French fries, you know, I like baking them in the oven at home, right? Better than fried. I don't eat hardly any other fried stuff. I love ice cream. So when it comes to dessert, yeah, don't be afraid to have dessert, but just a couple bites, right? A couple bites, 2 or 3 bites. That's it. Ice cream, I used to eat every day. Now I eat it, you know, once a week or on special occasions. My son just turned 4, actually, last week. So, you know, he loves chocolate cake, and we had ice cream, and, you know, so I made a plate for him and a plate for me, and seriously, it took like 30 minutes to eat a little piece of cake and a little ice cream because I enjoyed it. I took little small bites and I was eating, and I was like, oh my God, this tastes so good, right? I really, really thoroughly enjoyed it, and that was, you know, got me through. Now I don't eat ice cream for a little while because that was just, you know, you can hold on to that taste, right, a little bit longer, knowing that you got rewarded, right? It's okay to get rewarded as we go. You shouldn't be miserable. I'm not saying pain is misery. You know, enjoy some things, but just do it moderately and do it within your scale, right? Within your schedule. Okay. So, also, this is something that you have control over. So, I want you to really, really, a lot of factors in your life are happening and you're just reacting to them, right? So, and you know, your attitude is really positive and you do whatever you have to do in that regard. However, this is one thing. You have 100% control over what you put in your mouth, what you're doing, what are your habits, are you working out, are you doing the smart things? So this is the one thing you can't blame anybody else. There's no more excuses. There's no nothing. This is for you. If you want that in reinvention, you have the right to do it. You have 100% control of creating that new identity that you always wanted or you had and you want to get it back. So take ownership of it. Just start. Start small. Start whatever. Write it down. I'll be your accountability partner. And put down what you want. Put down what are your results. You want to lose 10 pounds in 2 months. You want to lose 5 pounds in 3 months. Write it down. We'll start a little community here, and I'll hold you accountable. I'll say, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? We'll kind of keep everybody focused. At least when you put it out there, you're at least kind of saying, hey, I'm raising my hand. I would like this to happen, right? And whatever. Just doing that is going to probably make it 33% more greater chance of it happening by you owning it because you're putting it in writing. You're putting it out there in the universe, right? Even if it's amongst people that, you know, that you don't know, and it still makes a big difference, okay? So please, go ahead and share that there. We're here for you. Again, if you like this video, please subscribe to the channel. I'm going to be doing at least one per week is my goal, hopefully more in the future. And if you know someone that could really benefit from this information, obviously please share it with them. And that's it. Be the best you can be. Take ownership of the one thing you have control over, and I promise you, your health is the most important thing, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your family, and you deserve to look and feel the best you can be. All right? Thank you guys for watching. Hey guys, Richard Calabat here, CEO of Miami Living at Keller Williams, and today I'm super excited to talk to you about something that I'm very passionate about, and that is an awesome career in real estate. So, why get a real estate license? Well, because you're an entrepreneur, because you're business-minded, because you want to have freedom, you want to make a ton of money, you want to have the luxury lifestyle, you want to be able to be your own boss, you want to take vacations, you want to have your own schedule, all of these wonderful things that come with being a CEO of your own business, and I'm going to give you a platform, strategies, steps, necessary that you should be thinking about if in fact this is something that you wish to move into. So I have a lot of friends that are kind of in their 50s, 40s, and getting older, and they're sick of their day job, and they, you know, think they want to get into another career. Real estate is an amazing, amazing business to start. The point of entry is fairly minimal, and it's something that you can do forever, right? As long as you enjoy it, as long as you love it, there's no timeline. You know, you see a lot of people doing it, you know, easily into their retirement years. It's not physical labor. It is fun. There is a little hustle. There's a lot of hustle, actually. You do have to run around. You do have to talk to a lot of people. You do have to learn a lot. And if those are things that you're passionate about, then, you know, anyone can make an amazing living in real estate, because the business has so many different facets to it that No matter what your behavioral style is, no matter what you enjoy doing, there's a place for you in the real estate, you know, world, on a team possibly, or creating your own team, whereby all of your skills can come to fruition and you can master them and maximize them. And again, make a ton of money if you do everything right. So I'm going to give you the crash course on how to approach the real estate world, right? So number one, why get a license? All the reasons I just mentioned, those are one of them. You can get a license. The point of entry, like I said, is very easy. Depending on where you live, what state you're in, Google real estate schools, something like that. Every state is unique, so you'll have your own hours that are required that you can do online. You can go into a classroom. You finish those hours. You take all the exams. Once you pass that test, then you can apply for the state exam. Once you pass that, you have a real estate license. Depending on where you live, that could be as little as, you know, $150, and sometimes maybe $500, $700 maximum just to get your license, right? But once you have your license, you can keep it for a little while, right? You don't have to activate it right away. However, once you determine why you want to be in real estate, you know, I like to show properties, I like to talk to people, I like networking, and you know, all of these are very important. However, there is a lot of meat that goes into understanding the real estate business, how to generate business, how to service the business. You know, now we live in an amazing world with technology that makes our life a lot easier. It gives a lot more information readily available. So I'm going to talk about ways to take advantage of the landscape that we have today. So you go, you get your license. Congratulations. All right, now you have a license to make an unlimited amount of money. It's really insane, actually. The amount of the, the time invested for the potential to make an unlimited amount of money is just, you know, right there is attractive on its own, right? I mean, you have a license to go and sell properties and make hundreds of thousands of dollars in one commission, on one sale, right? Granted, that doesn't happen all the time, but it's possible, right? You know, is that possible in your job right now? Probably not. You know, I'm not sure, but probably not. So get your license. Next step, choose a company, okay? A broker. And I am a worldwide recruiter for Keller Williams. And I've been with Keller Williams since I got my license in 2003, okay? So I love them. What attracted me to them is their training, is their growth opportunities, their leadership opportunities. It's spectacular. So after you get your license, I suggest that you interview, you know, at least two or three brokers, maybe up to five, you know, but don't interview 20 brokers or anything like that. But it's good to go and see what other people offer, based upon, you know, expenses, based upon how they pay you commission. There's a risk reward, but just keep in mind, you get what you pay for, right? So you can go to these smaller brokers that, you know, they're not going to spend money on you, so it may take longer, but you have less out-of-pocket expenses in the beginning. So you'll see that. But again, Keller Williams, to me, was the perfect scenario because it encompassed value for the money you get and all of the training and everything that you receive. To me, it was, you know, a slam dunk, and it's only gotten better as the years have progressed. I did start, so take a little detour here. If you want real estate to be your career, that's one thing, right? Full time, dive in and go for it. If you say, well, I got my day job, I can't afford to leave, maybe I want to start a side hustle and I go get my real estate license, do it on the nights, do it on weekends, and you know, see what happens, right? I'm all about that, no problem. Most people start part time because they need their income from their day job to pay their bills and all of that stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you though, most of the training and most of the learning opportunities in the real estate world happen between 9 and 5. So if you are a teacher or a banker or your day job is from 9 to 5, you're going to lose out on all the opportunities of growth through training and knowledge and working with other real estate agents that will help propel you into seeing results faster. So I hope that makes sense. The ideal job is for the young people, right? If you're in your early 20s, woof, you know, the world is your oyster. If you started real estate, I wish I started, right? I didn't start till I was like 31. And so, 33 actually. And so, if you start in your early 20s, and like you're a bartender or a waiter, and that is your night and weekend job, because that's where you make the most money in that job, and you can do real estate during the day, you have the best schedule possible, right? You hustle, you work hard. I mean, you can go from 0 to 100, you know, fairly quickly, if you want to invest, you know, that time and energy. That's like the ideal situation. If you have a night job plus a weekend job, because that's the time you're going to maximize the knowledge and the training of a real estate company. Okay. So that's going to be number two. Number three, expenses. So how much does it cost? Yes. You're a business owner, right? So starting a small business, guess what? It's, you know, can be expensive. You know, paying rent, electricity, and, you know, having all of those things, right? You need a website, you need all of that stuff. So the real minimum, bare minimum expenses is the cost to get your license, the cost to join a board of realtors. Every city has a board of realtors, so that cost can be anywhere from, I don't know, I've seen it as low as $30 a month. So it's like, say, $360 a year, up to maybe $1,000, $1,500 a year, just to have access to the board of realtors, to have access to the MLS, which of course is our greatest tool as an agent. It provides us all the data that we need to help our clients, as well as the broker fees. So broker fees, again, some people charge zero, and of course they don't give you much. And then some people can charge up to, you know, $200, $300, $400, but I would say the average is probably between $50 and $100 of what you can expect. So that's, say, $1,200, you know, plus $1,000 plus to get your license. Let's say $3,000 is what you will need for 1 year to activate your real estate license with a broker, and then be able to go and make business happen. Of course, that doesn't include any kind of, you know, business cards, marketing you wish to do, any other websites you want to run. You know, I mean, you could spend as much money as possible, right? But I'm just saying the bare minimum is going to be about $3,000 for the entire year, and then you're fine. Okay. Keep in mind that you might not see commissions immediately. So along with the expenses, you need to have reserves somewhere in the bank. If this is your full-time gig and you're not having additional income coming in, then you for sure need to have, you know, 3 to 6 months of reserves to pay all of your bills should you not see a paycheck. And in a perfect world, I would say 1 year, just to not have any pressure, because 3 to 6 months goes by pretty fast, right? You know, keep in mind, if you get your license, you join a broker, the next day you write a contract, you know, you're not going to see that money for at least, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, right? So it just takes time before you start to see the income coming in. So a year would be ideal, 3 to 6 months, bare minimum, if you're doing it full time. That's why I say if it's your side hustle and you're doing it part time and you have money coming in, then you can take some of that money and fuel your real estate business as you see fit. And then that will also help you to maybe see a commission check sooner. Okay, great. All right, now we got our license, we're with a broker, we got to go get business. Now what? So many different ways to get business, right? A lot of people will tell you, oh, social media and all this stuff. Yeah, it might turn into something. I don't know, if you're very tech savvy, then you can, you know, social media is good for the masses. However, there's still the number one way to generate business is face-to-face, networking, engaging with people, talking about real estate. You have to have the knowledge, have something to talk about. You have to have like your introduction, your mission, vision, and values, how you wish to help people, your elevator pitch, whatever you want to call it, is when you're doing the face-to-face thing, right? Hey, I'm in real estate. Hey, who do you know? I can help sell real estate. Are you looking for something? Where do you live? How long have you been living there? You got to get used to the language of real estate and have those conversations. And the good news is most people enjoy talking about real estate. They enjoy talking about their house. They enjoy talking about their lifestyle. They enjoy talking about all this stuff. So it's not too hard to strike up a conversation. It's just mastering how to get to the point where people are going to trust you and like you to want to work with you or refer business to you. So that's number one. Number two, the phone. Pick up the phone, call people. For sale by owners, expired listings, if you want to work with sellers, for buyers, you know, people who are renting, something like that. And, you know, again, you know, perfect. Like when you go to any restaurant, wherever you go out and about, you're giving your business card to everybody because people are always on the move. People are looking to rent or to buy and they're renting already. So there's all that opportunity there, as well as the internet, as well as all of that. So once you find the right broker, they will train you on all the different ways to get business. Okay. Should I join a team? This is the $1 million question because real estate is a team business. Okay. The single individual real estate agent that does everything by themselves is going to be obsolete. And most of them have already slowly either, you know, they're doing a couple deals a year or, you know, they already joined a team or started a team. Okay. So the team is the way to go. Either you decide I'm committed to learning and growing and building my own business, building my own team. Or if you're brand new, you just might want to partner with a team that already has all this figured out. They already have the leads. They have the marketing. They have all the systems. They have all the technology. They have the CRMs. They have the clients, right? They can give you clients on a silver platter and then train you on how to service them. So obviously it sounds too good to be true, right? So when you work with a team, so usually the team will cover your expenses. So that's the good news. If you don't have a lot of money, partner with a team. They will cover most of your expenses and you are under their umbrella working with them to help their clients and your clients. And then you have a point of contact. You have accountability partners. You have coaches. You have trainers. You have that camaraderie. It's a great place to be. Teams, if you're really just starting out brand new, I would say, you know, 90% should join a team right from day one because it will just fast track your success. And, you know, the truth is you may love it and you may hate it, but you're going to get experience, you're going to get knowledge, and if you decide to leave the team and do something else, you can always do that, right? Just make sure you don't sign a long-term contract or anything. But as an independent contractor, when you have your license, as an independent contractor, you're free to switch brokers, switch teams. Like, usually there's no handcuffs, right? You're not signing your life away for anything. But just make sure the paperwork doesn't say that, because I know some companies are starting to do that for different reasons. So I'm a big believer in the team, unless you want to grow your own team and you're patient and you want to have your own brand. Like mine is Miami Living. That's my team. That's my brand. And I have agents that work with me, right? So it's not even the future of real estate. It's the today of real estate. And it's a good place to be. How do I earn commission? So obviously when we help people buy, sell, and rent, typically when you buy or sell, the seller pays, right now the standard is 6% around the country. Out of that 6%, usually it's split 3% and 3% of the sales price. So to keep the numbers simple, $100,000 house, 6% is $6,000. The seller agent will get three, the buyer agent gets three, and then you split that $3,000 with your broker if you're an individual agent. Otherwise, if you're on a team, you have to split it with your team and then split it with your broker, right? So it's less commission if you're on a team, but obviously that's because the team is training you, paying for your expenses. So the team philosophy is more, you're not gonna make a ton of money on every deal. The philosophy is we're gonna give you easier deals to make more money because you're gonna do more transactions. So please understand that, right? If you want to make as much money as possible per transaction, then maybe a team is not right for you. However, I would beg for you to consider it because there's a lot of value there. There's a lot of value there. With rentals, it's usually half of 1 month rent. So if you find somebody a $2,000 a month apartment, the person who's working with the landlord gets $1,000, the buyer, the tenant will get 1,000, and then you split that money with your broker, right? Depending on what your split is. And some companies are 50-50, all the way up to some companies are 100%, right? And they just, you have to pay a transaction fee. So again, you'll learn that when you start talking to brokers. But again, it's not about what you're paying. It's more about what are you receiving, because that is what's going to help propel your career to the highest level possible. Okay. Pitfalls to avoid. So a lot of people get into real estate because I want to be my own boss. I want to have my own calendar. I don't want people to tell me what to do. I want to do whatever I want. Yay. Congratulations, right? In a perfect world, everybody wants that freedom, independence. However, unless you are very, very disciplined at managing yourself, right? Being the CEO of yourself and having the commitment, getting up early, having a schedule, knowing what you should be doing. That's the number one thing, actually. A lot of people are so busy running around doing what they think they should be doing or what they enjoy doing, which may or may not be what you should be doing if, in fact, you want to help people buy and sell real estate so you can earn a commission. Okay, I'm going to pause there because that's the most important thing. You have to focus on the activities that produce the results, not what you think you want to do and what you enjoy doing, because that may or may not produce the results, which leads into frustration, which leads into the reason why 80% of all newly licensed real estate agents are out of the business in the first year. Okay, 80%. Yes, it is that high of a number because people don't have the right expectations. They get in the business thinking it's so easy. Once they realize how tough it is, or once they start doing what they think they should be doing, they get frustrated and they say, oh, this is not where I thought it was going to be, and then they leave. So another reason why, if you join a team will harness your skills, point you in the right direction, help you because they've done this before, and they can put you through this, you know, training process of helping you maximize your skills, helping you get to a paycheck faster. So it's like a paid internship, actually. Think of it that way. It's like being a paid internship, being on a team where you're going to learn and grow, make money. Learn, grow, make money. And then depending on how fast you learn and grow, the more money you will make. All right? Other pitfalls. I think not committing the time. If you say, you know, understanding how much time you have, if this is your side hustle, and you say, well, I'm just going to do it on nights and weekends. Well, what does that look like? You know, is that 2 hours a day? Is that 10 hours a week? All right, you have to understand how much time do I have that I'm committed to applying towards this real estate gig. And whatever it is, right? If it's 5 hours, 10 or 20 hours a week, understand what that is. And then you say, okay, I have 20 hours. This is what I need to do. Where am I going to do it? Right? Have that structure in place. Talk to your broker. Talk to people in the office. Understand what those activities that you should be doing. Put them on the calendar so that you don't get stuck in the, I'm so busy, you know, finding out about all this information that is interesting, but at the end of the day, it's not helping me get any closer to a paycheck, right? I'm on social media and I'm talking about, hey guys, I got my license. Who wants to buy or sell? Yeah, that's great once, but after that, you know, you can't be spending hours on Facebook and Instagram hoping people are going to call you and say, wow, I heard you just got your license. Can you help me buy a $1 million house? That's never happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to other people, but the likelihood of that happening is slim to almost none. All right. So the good news is that, you know, we have a book at Keller Williams called The Millionaire Real Estate Agent. This is a duplicatable success story. You know, it's, you know, you read, you apply, copy paste these, you know, strategies, these business solutions, and you will start to see results. But you have to have a blueprint, right? It's a blueprint of success. So we give you that, and you can just start to grow and move as fast as you can to get to where you want to be. Okay. So again, I work at Keller Williams, you know, here in Miami, but I recruit for all Keller Williams offices worldwide. We have about 800 in the U.S. We have 36 countries where Keller Williams is prevalent. So if you do want to, and depending on where you live, we have the Keller Williams offices. Some of them have schools. So some of them will maybe pay for your tuition to even get your license, right? And so there's that opportunity. So if you're interested in an introduction in your area, I'd be happy to help. You can shoot me an email, richardk@kw.com, and I'd gladly to make an introduction for you. Okay, leave a legacy. One of the beautiful things about real estate is, again, you can do it into your golden years, right? Into your retirement years. A lot of people, if you started early, you have kids, your kids are now in their 20s or 30s or whatever they are, and they want to help you with your business. And again, right, the team philosophy is so strong that sometimes there's so much to do, right? I mean, your kids can help you with marketing, they can help you with a lot of different things without even having a real estate license. Once they get a license, then they can help you with, you know, working with the buyers, showing properties, going on appointments, all of this stuff, because you have the database, right? But when you build a real estate business, it's all about your contacts. It's all about this golden $1 million database of people that you have serviced, that trust you, that like you. It's very easy because now those people are going to get older and then they're going to have kids and their kids are going to be wanting to buy and sell. So if you maintain those relationships, your children can be servicing their children and everybody's happy and everyone can make money. So, and then upon your passing or upon the day you do want to just say, I'm done, I want to retire, your kids can step into a, you know, a very profitable business right from day one, if in fact they love it. So either way, you either leave a legacy to your children or your business still has value. You can have a business partner that you can work with, and eventually that person can, you know, you can sell your portion of the business to them, and you have some kind of a either recurring income stream from the business, or you can get a lump sum payment and, you know, walk away. Right? So it's that powerful. It is that powerful. So I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you very much. Again, Richard Calabat. If it's your first time on my channel, welcome. Please subscribe if you want these videos. I'm hoping to do them every week, no more than every 2 weeks. And share with anyone you know looking to get a real estate license. All right. Thank you so much. Take care. Hi, everyone. I'm Ricky Calabat. And welcome to my Leave a Legacy channel. My intentions are to provide you with valuable information that could alter the trajectory of your life by creating new opportunities for your family and your future. Today I want to talk to you about the power of creating positive habits. And we may have had many experiences in the past, we may have read many books on this topic because it's really, in my mind, it's a game changer. So I want to spend some time going over some tips and then going deeper on some parts that I think are going to just be a game changer for your world. And so maybe you've seen Stephen Covey wrote about 7 habits of highly successful people. We have habits of millionaires, habits of billionaires, right? So why is it? What separates somebody who is the uber wealthy from people that are living in poverty, right? Everyone has the same time in the day. So what separates those people? And I'm here to tell you, it is what they do every day called their habits, right? Or their lifestyle is what it ends up materializing into. And those habits, as small as they may be, when they compound it daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, that's when you see that fortunes are made. And that's when you see growth happens, right? Personally, professionally, in so many different ways. So just like you are what you eat, well, guess what? Your life is what you do. And what you're doing is broken down into your daily habits. All right? So let's jump right in. So number one, start super small. Everyone thinks that they're going to create this new habit. They want to lose 20 pounds. They want to, make a three times as much money as they made before. So you have these lofty goals. And what you're doing is you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. Because once you start getting into that and you realize that it's not getting you where you need to be as fast as you want, then you lose interest and then you may quit. So start small. That is the secret, right? Don't lose 20 pounds. Lose 5 pounds. Don't change by going to the gym 5 days a week if you don't go at all. go to the gym once a week, right? Start small. That's my point. And I'm going to go deeper in all these things, but this is just going to be an overall view because habits are so, so critical, so important. I'm going to create a series around habits, how to implement them, how to stack them, how to sandwich them. There's so many ways that we can use these tools in our daily lives for business and for personal. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, you have to get addicted to the results. That's why we start small, right? If we can go once a week, great. If we go twice a week, even better, to the gym or whatever it is, that new habit we want to do. So create the small results that will give you momentum, and then you're going to fall in love with it. You have to love it, right? You have to be addicted to this result, because then it gets that dopamine in your head and you're like, yeah, this feels good. I want more of this. That's what's going to get you up early tomorrow and going to keep that habit going. Okay? Number three, time and a place, calendar. So again, I'm going to run with this gym analogy because I think, you know, all of us could use something in that regard, whether you get healthier or lose weight or get stronger. It's a good example. So if you want to go to the gym, then you don't say, I'm going to go to the gym three times this week. I'm going to go to the gym on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm going to be there from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. I'm going to be there after work from 5:30 to 6:30, right? Time, place on your calendar. Very, very imperative that you put it on your calendar, and it has to be the exact time that it's going to happen, on the day that it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, to create that in your mind that you visualize yourself at that gym at that time. Make sense? Perfect. Number four, be patient. And again, this is probably the number one killer of creating new habits, is we want to lose 5 pounds or 20 pounds. We eat healthy, we go to the gym, we do all this stuff, and a week, 2 weeks go by, and we're like, well, I don't see a result. Oh, screw this. It's not worth it. Forget it. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing. No. Patience. You have to be patient. So it's not about the result. The result is what's going to happen once you create the habit, once you're committed to the habit, once you're addicted to the habit. Then your lifestyle changes, and then the results will follow. I promise you, okay? Don't just do it for the result. The result is the reward. You're doing it for your lifestyle, for your mind, for your body, for your soul, right? That's why, because you want to change. You want to change your being. You want to change your existence, right? You want to change your future. That's why you're creating these new habits. The result, I guarantee you, will be there, and it's the reward, okay? Design your environment. Okay, so again, you're going to go to the gym. Guess what? If you want to go at 6 a.m., the night before, you need to put out your clothes, get everything ready, what you're going to wear, down to your sneakers, to your socks, everything, get it ready, put it in a gym bag, put it by the door so that you are prepared. You don't have to think about it in the morning. You don't have to make an excuse of why you're not going to go to the gym because you're running late and you didn't get all your stuff you needed. Prepare the day before. Also, you want to lose weight or something like that, don't leave a jar of cookies on the counter, because that is just going to create temptation, and it's just the convenience, right? A lot of habits are created out of convenience. It's like, oh, that's there, that's easy, low-hanging fruit, whatever you want to call it. You dip into it and you bite it and you eat it and you're like, okay, it's no big deal, it's just one or whatever. But again, compounded is where you see the result, good or bad. Right? So be careful with that. So create your environment, right? And that's what that looks like. Supporters. So as you are transforming into this new identity over time, right? You're going to go to the gym, you're going to meet some people, or you're going to start looking online, or you're going to start hanging out with other people, and just by default, right? Because these new habits are going to alter the trajectory of your life, and it's going to put you in other situations or scenarios that you may not have been in the past. And so again, that's where new opportunities come from. So you need fans, you need supporters, you need like-minded people that share your interest and are going to be there and help you, right? Hold you accountable, maybe, you know, if you had, hey, you seem to be working on the same machines that I work on, and we seem to be coming at the same time, hey, maybe we can, you know, work with each other. Maybe we can spot each other. Maybe we can help each other. Maybe we can, you know, just support each other. And that, I can't tell you how important that is in whatever way it is, right? Either it's a friend or it's somebody that you meet, your spouse or whoever it is that is supporting you through this change, right? This transformation, it's imperative for you to keep that momentum, for you to stay addicted, and for you to really have a greater purpose overall, okay? So you might need to find new friends. That's another topic is, your friends might not agree with this new you, right? Because you're kind of taking yourself to another level, and some of them might be, you know, they might be a little bit envious. They might be a little jealous. Dare I say, they might be haters. And they might be, uh-oh, I don't want to see you go through this new transformation because I'm going to feel worse about myself, right? So be very, very careful about those friends that you might have that you think are looking out for your best interests when they want you to be where they are, right? As miserable as they are, because misery loves company, right? So we'll talk about that again in the future videos, but that's so critical for you to align yourself with the right people that are either where you want to go or want to get there with you, right? Okay. 7, plan, prepare for the new you. So what do I mean by that? Maybe you need to read some books. Maybe you need to listen to some podcasts. Maybe you need to watch more of my videos. The result is you're working your mind, you're preparing, you're visualizing it, right? Because this is a process, right? It's as easy as a decision, but at the end of the day, it's a process that you have to mentally go through. So if you plan, you prepare, maybe the Sunday, for me, Sunday is my golden day. I prepare and stack my whole week, where I'm gonna be doing, where I'm gonna be, who I'm gonna be with, how I'm gonna get there, and I stack it all on Sunday. So I have a visual of what that entire week is gonna look like so that I'm prepared and ready for action, okay? You also, that's per week, right? You also have a 3-month plan. I know some people say you need a year plan and everything. I use a 3-month plan and it really keeps you focused, because sometimes when you think a year out, you think, oh, I got so much time, I can make it up later. But when you chunk it down into 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, and then by week, then you know every day what you need to be doing to create those right habits. Okay, so it's very, very important, the planning for the new you. And 8, why do you want to change in the first place, right? And this probably should be 1, but I made it 8 because when all else fails, this is the one that is going to pick you back up, right? Yeah, maybe you didn't go to the gym when you had it on your calendar and everything was great and you just weren't feeling good that day, right? It's gonna happen. That's okay. It's okay, right? Don't look at it as such a, oh, I failed, so I gotta stop doing it now. No, right? Go back to, why do you wanna change? What is that future look like? How do you wanna show up for your family? How do you wanna show up for your friends? To yourself, right? At the end of the day, we only answer to ourselves. The people around us get to see the result of that. But at the end of the day, accountability happens in the mirror every day. And so we have to be true to ourselves, true to who we want to become. And in order to become that person, guess what? You have to be that person. Think about that for a second. A lot of people say, I want to do this, and I want to be this person, I want to become this in the future. And that's fine and dandy, but in order to become something, you have to be that person. And so, be that person. So when you do your planning and everything, be the guy that gets up at 6 a.m. Be the person that is going to the gym and meeting with people and, you know, going to work early or staying late. Whatever it is, your habits you want to create, don't think so hard about it. Just do it, right? I know it's a commercial, right? but it's true. It is true at the end of the day. We have too many things playing with our mind and playing with our head, and it really is as easy as making a choice, flipping the switch, and committing to the plan, okay? So thank you for watching this first series on habits, creating those new habits. I'm gonna have other videos out there. If you like this channel, please subscribe, please share it, and I look forward to sharing new valuable information with you. Thank you very much for watching. Hello everyone, I'm Richard Calabat, CEO and founder of Miami Living Homes Real Estate Team. If this is your first time on my channel, welcome. I hope you enjoy the video. This video is designed for entrepreneur-minded people and really anyone who has a passion burning inside of them that is just waiting to unleash and do something with all of that energy. And what we're seeing in this new world of opportunities that we live in is at some point in time, you want to start thinking of your next career path, turning over a new leaf, maybe starting a new chapter. And so we have our careers, we have our jobs, we have our families, and yet we yearn for something more. There has to be something more out there for us. And so we start to develop these ideas, and then we start turning them into action, and then they can become something even more glamorous than we ever anticipated. And how it all starts is what we call a side hustle. And that term just kind of started about 10 years ago. Maybe you call it a side gig, maybe you call it a part-time thing, but it seems that right now, the side hustle is what's taking over and kind of creating the whole new millennial mindset of, it's not about if I want to do something else, it's what am I going to be doing, how am I going to push that forward, and synergizing all of the ideas that can come through that, and collaboration, and it's just an amazing time of the life that we live in right now, and the world that we have so many opportunities. So I just want to kind of give you a little framework, maybe a little strategy session on things to consider if you are on the sidelines and you want to get on the court and you want to say, okay, I want to do something, I'm just not sure what. So I got some bullet points here. If you want your side hustles, number one, start listing ideas. So write down, what are you good at? What do you like to do when you're not doing your day job? What is there a need that you have that is currently not being filled? Are there things out there that you like, but they're not as good as they can be? And is there a hobby that you really enjoy? So a lot of these things come to mind when we think of our side hustle, right? When people say, well, if you want to be happy in life, do whatever you would want to do if money was no object and you didn't have to be paid for it. And that's how you should approach a side hustle. You shouldn't always do it just for the money, right? Because if you did that, you might end up doing something that you don't really love, you're not passionate about it, and then when the going gets tough, you're gonna start to realize, why did I do this in the first place? This is not what I thought it was gonna be, and then you might just quit. So if that's okay with you, then fine. However, I'm here to give you ideas of how to maximize that opportunity of your side hustle and to put some structure in place. So write down your list of all of those ideas and just put them aside. I'm gonna get back to that a little bit later also, right? Maybe prioritize them in which one you think you're best qualified for, you're best suited. Maybe you have an easier point of entry because you know somebody, maybe you wanna partner with someone. Side hustles are great when you can collaborate and partner with others, because if you're only dedicating half the time and someone else is dedicating half the time, now you've got really a full-time person working on this endeavor, okay? Number two, do not quit your day job, right? At least not yet. So what do I mean by that? Your day job is your bread and butter. It's your primary source of income. It provides for your family. It provides for you and all of the, you know, lifestyle choices that you have made. So please, please, please don't let your side hustle interfere with that, because you could be in a worse situation if for some reason there's a conflict of interest and you end up losing your job or not performing to the level of what you're expected, and then you suffer multiple ways. So focus on your job. However, you need to have your side hustle time is after your day job, okay? So maybe you better be better at time blocking and structuring that so that you can give yourself a great opportunity to make it happen. Which leads me to number three. How bad do you want it? So again, with number one, it should be something you're passionate about. It should be something that you love. It should be something that you really is close to your heart. Because how bad do you want it means you're going to struggle. And there could be times where you want to quit. There could be times where this is not working out. And there could be times where I'm not willing to make the sacrifices to get this side hustle accomplished. And again, that's okay if you're not that serious about it. However, if you're watching this video, it's because you are serious about it and you want to make things happen. So how bad do you want it means, what are you willing to sacrifice? Because a side hustle is going to demand all of your time and attention. And so you need to decide, where am I going to cut that out? Am I going to stop watching TV? Am I going to cancel my Netflix subscription? Am I going to limit my social media exposure and time on there? Maybe it's your family. Maybe you could spend a little bit less time with them on certain occasions, or whatever that looks like in your life. You should write down those list of things that you are going to replace with actions to help you get your side hustle to the next level. Very, very important. Again, this is where the rubber meets the road, where you're going to really see, okay, am I committed to this? Do I want it bad enough that I'm willing to make these sacrifices in order to get what I want on this side? Okay? Awesome. Number four, eat, breathe, and think like a CEO. Most people start their side hustles because they want to be their own boss. They want to be a business owner. Maybe you watch Shark Tank and you say, wow, oh my God, I have so many ideas and I get all this, which is a great show, by the way. I love Shark Tank. I watch it religiously and I get a tremendous amount of ideas. And maybe it's not to start a new business, but help a current business that I have going on to excel and to get a little bit better. But all in all, it's a fantastic show. I love the feedback that the people receive, whether the sharks invest in them or not, right? It's good information. So be the CEO. What that means is, being the boss, a lot of responsibility comes with being the boss, and a lot of effort and a lot of commitment, a lot of dedication. So hone your craft, go do some research, go learn, go take classes, do these kind of things that are going to help you build that foundation to be the best CEO you can be for your business, to be the best boss you can be for eventually when you need to hire people and you need to train them and you need to invest in your business with tools and software or whatever that looks like. It's better to have a good game plan and understanding of what it is exactly that you're going to need to really go to the next level when it's time to scale your business, right? So that's the advanced side hustle video, which will be coming a little bit later. Number five, what's the desired result? So most people say, well, I want to make extra money. Nothing wrong with making money. Hello, this is, you know, the world we live in. Money does provide you with lots of opportunities. However, some people just want a side hustle because they want to keep busy. They want to maybe coach your kids' basketball team or baseball team. Or maybe you want to learn how to do dancing. So it could be anything from being an Uber driver on the side, and maybe you like to talk to people, and maybe you like driving, and so you want to make a little bit of extra money while you're doing those things. So it doesn't have to be always about money. It's what's, again, in your heart, what you're passionate about, what you want to do more of, and you want to do it in a more systematic way, a more strategic way. However, since most people do have the idea of monetizing their side hustle, you do want to have some knowledge of accounting, finance, understanding expenses, income, revenue, liabilities, putting it all together. Don't get too ahead of yourself. Don't max out all your credit cards and go buy all this stuff that you think you have to have, but you're not sure how to do it. Again, right, we want to be very smart, thinking like a CEO of planning for when you want to take the next step and do it. And, you know, this is always risk-taking, right? There's always going to be chances that you're going to have to take. However, if you can have the most information to make the best decisions when that time comes, then you can always understand what's the worst thing that could possibly happen. Write them all down, worst-case scenarios, and then say, okay, if that happened, what am I going to do? Am I going to be okay? How am I going to get through that? And then it's not going to be as terrifying if, in fact, that does happen. Okay? Which leads us to number 6. Be open to failing. Guess what? 90% of all businesses end up closing down or maybe failing. That doesn't mean that they were bad ideas. That doesn't mean that you were no good at it. That just means that you had an opportunity to learn and grow. I was just reading a book, and it's not about winning or losing. As long as you take action, in my mind, you never lose. What do I mean by that? Well, you either win, which you get the desired result and what you're hoping for, or you learn something. And if you can have that mindset on everything that you do, it's not about losing, failing, quitting, that didn't work out for me. It's about, what did I learn? How did I grow? How can I take this information and apply it to maybe a new and improved side hustle of the same thing that you wanted to do? Or you go back to number one and you go to your ideas and you say, maybe I didn't love that idea as much as I thought. Let's go to the next one. And the next idea, okay, well, let's see, I got some of the stuff that I already put together for the first side hustle, so you won't need to start from scratch. You'll have a business plan, you'll have some things in place where you can just apply the new metrics of whatever your new gig is and hopefully hit the ground running, and you're gonna learn and you're gonna be faster and stronger as this keeps evolving. Does that make sense? Great. Number 7, here's the thing, it is to start now. What do I mean by that? Start now, do number 1. That's it. That doesn't cost any money. Write down your ideas. If I were to do a side hustle, what would it be? Write them down. Write down the reasons why you would want to do that side hustle. Is it for yourself? Is it to bring value to others? Is it to provide a service that is in dire need by millions of people? Or is it you want to start an online business? With the internet and with online and with the websites, and the cost of getting started is really as low as it's been ever to start a new business, you know, out of your, you know, bedroom, dining room, garage, basement, whatever you want to call it. It's easy to kind of start something and be able to then see, what does this look like and how do I grow it? Okay, so write down those ideas, go back to them, and then realize, okay, is this what I want to do now? And it's kind of like a process of elimination. As you move forward and as you grow and as you start having these failures, you got to realize failure is a good thing. If you talk to any successful businessman or any successful person, at some point in their life, they're going to say they failed miserably. Multiple times. And when we look at someone say that, when we know that they've reached a certain level of success, we sometimes say, oh, well, of course you had to fail because you got to here. But when we're going through the failure process and we don't see the here, all we see is, uh-oh, we failed and this sucks and I'm no good. And we start painting that picture, it can be crippling, it could be deflating, it could take away all of your energy and all of your excitement and all your passion that you had when you were on step one. So please don't let that happen. Maybe if you need to take a break, if you need to step away for, you know, a week, a month to, you know, gather your thoughts, maybe do some more research or something, it's fine. But just go back to number one. See what that'll look like. What needs to happen? Am I committed to do that? And then go through the 2, 3, 4, and then go through that process until you either find the side hustle that really resonates with you, that you can really see yourself doing this forever or not. If you just want to do it a part-time on the side and just make a couple extra bucks, totally fine as well. So you have that awesome opportunity. If you think about it, we've had side hustles pretty much all of our lives. Even as a kid, if you had a lemonade stand or you sold water on the driveway, you know, that's kind of like a little side hustle, right? Even though your full-time gig was going to school, your side hustle was make a little money. Maybe you bake cookies and you were selling some stuff. So we've always had this side hustle mentality, but now we're able to monetize it in a tremendous way. My first big side hustle was I was in my early 20s and I was a bartender and I was making decent money for that age. And I was valet parking as my side hustle on the times that I wasn't bartending. And I really liked it. And so one day, a friend of mine and I, we were valet parking together and we're like, hey, why don't we start our own company? So we went through the whole process and we got our own company, we got our own insurance, we had our first location and everything was going spectacular for a little while until I smashed up a green Jaguar, crashed it in the back a little bit. It wasn't that bad, but of course they made a big deal out of it. We lost that account and that kind of deflated that whole idea of valet parking cars. So that side hustle, because I was probably too young, I was too inexperienced and I didn't love it as much, right? I realized I was just doing it for the money. It's not what I wanted to do forever. So it didn't materialize. My most recent side hustle, I was a financial consultant and I was a stockbroker helping people. And my side hustle was to go out and get my real estate license. And this was back in 2003. I got my real estate license, started telling friends and family, ended up selling a couple houses here or there, and I really, really enjoyed it. And then it was about a year and a half later of doing my side hustle that I got to the point where not only was I enjoying it more, I started making more money doing that than I was making as a financial consultant. And that's when I was able to break free, leave my day job, focus full-time on real estate, focus on growing my team. And that was, again, 2003. And, here we are today. And, thank God I'm happy to say Miami Living Homes and Calabac Consultants, which was my team back then. I know we've helped clients and overseen over, $2 billion worth of transactions, and it all started from a side hustle. And today, actually, my new side hustle is this. So I have a commitment to my two young boys that I want to help people share my knowledge, share some of my lessons that I've learned as I look at them, and I want to help groom them for being young men and growing up the right way in my mind. And I want to make these videos, honestly, I want to make them for them. However, I want to share them with the world right now as we can. And they're only 4 and 2.5. And eventually they're going to get to a point where this video may make sense for them, right? And they're going to be able to see this video. So I'm doing it kind of on a personal way that I want to have a library of them seeing their dad sharing nuggets with them, but really I want to share it with the world. And so this platform allows me to do that. And yes, my day job is real estate and I'm still going to sell real estate. However, my new side hustle as of today is to make more videos, educational, something that really has a near and dear to me, maybe something that I observe that I think, oh my God, this is great information. I think others would want to know this, is what my mindset is and thinking how I want to share. So I may have multiple videos on different topics. It's not always going to be about business. It's not always going to be about You know, it could be family, it could be spiritual. I don't know yet. I'm just getting started. And if you did like this video, I promise not to make them too long. I'm hoping under 20 minutes or so. And most of them probably be less, depending on the topic. But subscribe to my channel. That would be great. We're going to be able to have, my goal is to have one new video at least per week moving forward, and then hopefully growing at that point. So thank you very much. 1 through 7, start now, have fun, because at the end of the day, your side hustle should be extremely valuable to you, and you should enjoy doing it with every ounce of energy you have in your body. Alrighty, God bless, and make it a great day.